It's time for the Nort Posey Viking Coaches Show on 98.9 WPIW and NortPoseyRadio.com. Tonight's show is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, Crane Credit Union, Nick's Industrial, Expressway Chevrolet, GAF, Billy Sparkle and Shine, JT's Hardware, Posey Storage, Expressway Jeep, J.L. Hirsch & Company, Rugged Armor Linings, and Smith Sailing and Asphalt Maintenance.
Welcome into another edition of the North Posey Football Coaches Show, live from North Posey High School. I'm Jordan Fisher with head coach Waylon Shank. And coach, your team is coming off a 42-7 victory at Forest Park. You got to play on the new turf. It was certainly, a nice facility, the upgrades they've made there. But your team went in there and they took care of business. You had a 35-0 lead at the half. Really, I think you guys did everything you really wanted to on offense.
Yeah, you know, when you score on every drive, that's kind of your goal. But, you know, we had a couple mishap, I would say, there were some penalties, I think, on our third drive. But outside of that, I thought our guys executed really well. We were able to run the ball. They played us a little differently than we kind of anticipated watching film. They were dropping everybody into coverage, trying to take the pass game. And, you know, Brett was able to, you know, get loose pretty early and off. I think he averaged 12 yards a carry throughout the night, and he was really good for us. And again, man, when you do that, we got to take advantage of the run game, and that started to open some things. Carter won, pretty efficient, took care of the football, no turnovers, and that's what you got to do to go on the road and win.
I would say so often it comes down to just the turnover battle and winning that if you want to win a game. But Brett Beeker, you mentioned it, he was sensational. You guys had him at 18 rushes for 173 yards and 3 scores. I actually think he's up for a player of the week honor this week. He's just been continually special throughout the year, and it feels like every single week he's getting stronger and stronger and getting better at reading the holes.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when Cade went down at the beginning of the season, you know, the running back position was the biggest question mark we had entering week one. And I think Brett right now is 23 yards away from being a 1,000-yard rusher, you know, through 7 games. And he's really stepped up. You know, we talk about this each week, the confidence that he just continues to get each week, understanding the position, ask a lot of good questions, shows up to work every practice. And, you know, he's quietly having a really good season.
His defense was also really strong in the game against Forest Park. The Rangers never really got up kind of on that, I guess you could say, from offensive standpoint. I think they only had like 80 yards at halftime that. And everything were really the balls through the air, on the ground, matter. Your really was dominant.
Yeah, and that was our goal. We went in and we tweaked a few things, you know, alignment-wise up front. You know, what we told our guys all week is they're not going to run the ball between the tackles. If they get yards, it's going to have to be off the edge. Something we struggled with against Sal Spencer the week before. The games that we've struggled defensively in, it's been between the tackles. I think our secondary has been really good all year. And we just really challenged our guys, challenged them that you know, they're not going to run the ball between the tackles. And those interior 6 guys really stepped up.
And I don't know how many of these yards came in the quarter whenever you had a lot of the JV players out there because of the running clock. But Hudson King only finished with 40 yards rushing. He lost the ball on a fumble. Carter Yoakum only had 14 yards on a few carries. Kind of speaking to your point, you guys really shut down the running game. And the only average was 20 out of, so like 3 yards per carry.
Yeah, and like I said, that was what we had challenged our guys. And we felt like we got pushed around a little bit up front the week before. And, you know, to win football games, especially down deep in the season, you get into the sectional time, and you're going to have to be able to run the ball, and you're going to have to be able to stop the run. And I think we took a step in the right direction on both sides last Friday night.
Now, specifically with the defensive line, you guys have been kind of changing up the look. You've played some 3-down, you've played some 4-down linemen. How are you guys kind of working with trying to mismatch that look for the opposing offense and kind of make it hard on them?
Well, part of it came, you know, personnel-wise, who's healthy, who's feeling good. Are we better off with 4 linebackers and 3 D linemen, or are we better off with 4 D linemen and 3 linebackers? And, you know, personnel-wise right now, especially against a run-heavy team that Forest Park was, we felt like 4-down linemen would be better. You know, we've got a 9-man rotation right now with those guys, and you know, all of them have their strengths and their weaknesses, but we feel like all of them bring something to the table. And we've kind of taken the approach of, you know, 3 or 4 plays, get new guys in there, and getting our guys to buy in, man, just give us everything you got for 3 or 4 plays, and then get out, rest, and we'll bring in a whole new group. It's worked. Those guys have bought in. A lot of those guys are playing offense, too. So keeping those guys fresh seemed to to find a formula that's working for us.
And that start you guys had this past Friday was one of the best starts you've had all season long. I mean, being up 35-0 is evidence enough by that. Was there anything extra you said going into that game, knowing that it's the potential clincher for the PAC small school division, or was it just kind of, hey, guys, let's go take care of business and get back on the bus?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those deals where, you know, going out before the kickoff and you know, meeting with their staff and kind of watching them warm up. You know, I told our guys, you know, they didn't seem really interested in being there. But our guys were there to win a conference title and you know, finish an undefeated conference season. And they had a good week of practice all week, prepared well, knew that what was kind of on the line. And, you know, that was a goal. And when you're starting as many young kids as we're starting right now, to be able to graduate what we've graduated the last couple of years and still finish a undefeated conference season was pretty special for those kids. And, you know, like I said, I think we're starting 6 sophomores and a freshman on different areas right now. And, you know, they're getting better and better each week. But it's a lot more fun when you're winning conference titles and getting better with some young kids. And you know, the future is really bright for this group. And we keep them all together and keep them all working and doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're coachable. They're fun to be around. They're full of personality. Sometimes a little too much personality, but I mean, they're just great kids to be around. And, you know, we're really fortunate to have them.
I know we've talked about a number of players throughout this season on the broadcast. A lot of the skill position players obviously get a lot of shine. We've talked about some players like a Landon Crawford or a Lane Young. But has there been anybody else that's really kind of stepped out or stood out to you here in the last several weeks as you get closer and closer to postseason that you might be thinking that kid's somebody that's going to make a big impact play at some point down the line?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you start up front. You know, we've talked about Lennox Stone and we've talked about my son Carter and Brandon Courts, who's a senior up there playing. But, you know, we've had some young guys step up and kind of work their way into solidifying our offensive line. And Braden Rhodes and Justin Coleman are two of those guys that are starting to guard right now. They're both sophomores. And then Kaiden Myers has worked his way into playing some center, and that allows us to move Lennox out to tackle at times. You know, those three guys being sophomores playing key roles in the trenches is not something you see every day. And then, you know, we got a couple guys that have just kind of pieced together good seasons. They're young, and Davin Sullivan and Cam Bowers. Davin got his first touchdown catch Friday night. But, man, he's been a kid who's been on an island at corner all season, and you haven't heard his name much, which is a great thing because typically you don't hear about corners unless they're giving up touchdown passes, and I don't think Davin's given up much of anything. And in Camden, he's been a guy that has really come in and filled the role that Cade Malk left there on the edge for us, and he's kind of a hybrid. He can play safety, and he's really good in coverage, but he'll also come down and tackle you. And you know, those guys are, again, young. They're freshmen and sophomores, and, you know, as they continue to grow and their bodies fill out, I mean, they're going to be really good football players.
It wasn't quite a breakaway touchdown like I think maybe Davin Sullivan might have imagined as his first receiving touchdown, but it was a bit of a broken play, and he found himself in the right spot. He made a good play right there at the goal line.
Yeah, and that's what he does. He is definitely a possession-type guy. He finds holes. He knows how to run routes. But if you don't know Davin, man, he's a very competitive kid, high IQ when it comes to the football field. He just gets it. And, you know, he's a kid when he first got here, undersized, and we're kind of watching him. Man, that kid competes. He's competing every day in practice. He's not backing down from, you know, our known guys at receiver. And next thing you know, he's kind of worked his way into the offense. And then, you know, based on what he was doing on scout defense, we're like, man, we got to put him out on the field at corner too. And he's worked his way into a two-way starter, and he's just been a bright spot for us.
You've talked about how young your team is throughout this season, and I think one thing that you guys have kind of struggled with throughout the year that really wasn't much of an issue this past Friday were penalties. Really kind of, you know, the lack of a term of shooting yourself in the foot, yeah, kind of deal. It was one of those things I feel like you guys cleaned that up quite a bit, and I think that's going to be pretty important. I think you would agree going here down the stretch, not only with the two impending games you have for the regular season, but with postseason right around the corner.
Yeah, that's one of our offensive goals that we look at every week is, you know, did we kill a drive by a penalty? And, you know, we were fortunate. I think our third drive of the game Friday night, I think we had three straight false start penalties, two of which were by wide receivers, which, you know, drives us crazy because, you know, wide receivers are watching the football and not listening to the count. But they just got off, you know, a little bit early and jumped the snap count trying to their pass plays. But they settled in, but that is going to be key because a lot of times for us, if you go back and you look at the drives this year, we've been forced to punt, and we haven't had to do that much. But when we have, it's usually been the result of a bad penalty and just putting us behind the sticks. And we had that at Tell City. We had that at South Spencer, and it kind of put us in bad positions. We ended up turning the ball over on downs or punting. You know, and that's what we keep preaching our guys is, guys, make the other team stop us. And when we're pretty efficient and we're not, we've been really good about not turning the ball over. We've been pretty good about the penalties. You know, there's a few things we still got to clean up, but I'm pretty pleased with how it went Friday night.
Well, and you talked about this when we first started this coaches show a couple of years ago. Your three goals, your check boxes you talked about, were trying to beat Mount Vernon, trying to win the PAC Small School Division Championship, and then trying to win a sectional. Well, you've got checkbox number one out of the way. Of course, Mount Vernon looms in a couple of weeks, but you've got the Heritage Hills Patriots right here in front of you, which provide, I think, an even bigger test because they're reigning state champions, and also they just got done beating the tar out of Mount Vernon, yeah. Quite frankly. I mean, 69-7 was their result there. Going into this week, and we'll get more directly into the Heritage Hills Patriots, but how are you approaching these final 2 weeks where you want to hit that goal, but you also want to make sure your team is ready to go for sectional play?
You know, we're still taking it 1 week at a time. You know, I think it's very important, especially with this young group, you got to get better every week. You got to find ways to make strides every week. You know, no week's bigger than this week going into, you know, arguably our best opponent on our schedule. And Heritage Hills is loaded across the board. But at the same time, it gives your kids an opportunity to compete, figure out where we're at going into a sectional. You know, I wouldn't really want to play these guys week nine when you're trying to focus on a sectional. But at the same time, this is a good spot to play them because you see you got a couple, you know, figure out what these good teams are really doing against you, and we got two really good opponents the next couple weeks, and then, hey, what do we have to fix going into that sectional? So, you know, I told our guys today that there's no pressure on us in this game. You know, we've wrapped up the conference. We've got a big one, like you said, in 2 weeks with Mount Vernon and the Posey County Cup. This is just an opportunity for us to go out and compete and see how we stack up against really good talent, and probably the best talent across the state. And our guys, I think, will play free and go kind of just take in the moment and see what we can do.
Let's go ahead and step away for a break. When we come back, we'll dive deeper into the matchup with the Heritage Hills Patriots as they are the week number 8 matchup and the final regular season home game for the Vikings. Don't go anywhere. The Coaches Show continues live right here on 98.9 WPIW.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With 3 locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, an equal housing lender.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else and visit us 24/7 at expresswaychevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
When you need to clear up some space at home, store things that matter the most, or need an area to keep your business's materials and inventory, turn to Posey Storage in Poseyville. They've got storage units to fit about any need, with 4 sizes to choose from, including 5x12, 10x12, 10x24, and extra large 12x35-foot units. Need room for a boat, RV, or camper? They have you covered with both indoor and outdoor options. And renting couldn't be any easier. Call them at 812-622-1626, rent online at PoseyStoragePV.com, or stop by and use a convenient rental kiosk on site. Plus, with security cameras around the property, your stuff stays protected. Posey Storage, your local storage solution at 128 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville.
At Nick's Industrial, culture is what sets us apart from any other organization in the industry. Our people are not only our greatest asset, we are family. Our people have a mindset of determination for wins, but still believe in staying humble along the way. We all believe in continuous education and put ongoing effort to better ourselves as well as the company. Browse careers and start your journey with Nix Industrial at nixindustrial.com.
When you're ready to tackle your next home improvement project, look no further than JT's Hardware, your one-stop shop on Main Street in Poseyville. JT's Hardware has everything you need to get the job done right. From tools to paint, plumbing to electrical, and fasteners to lumber, they've got you covered. And the staff is always ready to lend a helping hand and offer helpful advice. So don't wait. Head to JT's Hardware today and make your home improvement dreams a reality. JT's Hardware, your local partner in home improvement, located on Main Street in Poseyville.
You count on your car every day, so keep it looking sharp at Billy Sparkle and Shine in Poseyville. A clean car doesn't just turn heads, it feels better to drive. Billy's has a touchless automatic bay for a quick and easy wash, two self-serve bays if you're hands-on, and four powerful vacuums to freshen up your interior. If you're tackling summer bugs, the front bug sweep pass on the Ultimate Package can clean up that mess too. And for businesses, fleet accounts make regular cleanups a breeze. So stop by Billy Sparkle and Shine today at 140 North St. Francis Street in Poseyville and give your car the care it deserves.
If your grip has slipped, get a grip on savings during tire season at Expressway Jeep. Right now, buy three tires and get the fourth for just a dollar. Trust our experts for tire needs and grab this tire screeching deal. But hurry, buy three tires and get the fourth for just a dollar won't last long. Only at Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Excludes tax, valid on most tire brands. Valid only at Expressway Jeep. Offered in 4/30/25.
Since 1916, J.L. Hirsch Company Grocery and Department Store has been servicing the people of Posey County. Whether you're looking for clothing, jewelry, or stocking up on groceries, it's all at J.L. Hirsch Company. And don't forget about the renowned meat department with the best cuts of meat for miles around. Get your North Posey spirit wear at J.L. Hirsch as well. J.L. Hirsch Grocery and Department Store, a Posey County tradition for over 100 years. Open 8 until 5:30 Monday through Saturday. J.L. Hirsch Company on Main Street in Poseyville. When it's time for maintenance on your vehicle, make the right choice and visit Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center. No matter the make or model, they have the right parts at the right price. Let the knowledgeable staff help you find exactly what you need for the job. If you don't want to deal with the mess yourself, then let the Poseyville Service Center take care of you where there's no job too big. Stop in at 39 West Main Street in Poseyville or call 812-874-3113. Open Monday through Friday from 8 until 5 and Saturdays from 8 until noon. Poseyville Auto Parts and Service Center, your one-stop shop for everything automotive.
If you're looking to breathe new life into your worn-out asphalt, you need Smith's Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance, a family-owned and operated business you can trust. Their team specializes in sealing and maintaining asphalt, making old driveways and parking lots look brand new. With fair prices and a commitment to quality, they're the ones you can rely on. Visit them on Facebook and give them a call for a free quote today. Call 812-228-9651 for Smith Sealing and Asphalt Maintenance. Trust in family. Trust in quality. Trust Smith's.
GAF of Mount Vernon, North America's premier roofing and waterproofing manufacturer, proudly supports Posey County football with the mission to protect what matters most. GAF builds unmatched strength, safety, and innovation, qualities that inspire champions on and off the field. GAF is honored to stand alongside our community and cheer on the Wildcats and Vikings players as they leave it all on the field this season. Here's to a safe, successful, and unforgettable season with pride and support from your friends at GAF.
Welcome back into the North Posey Football Coaches Show, live from North Posey High School, as we're getting ready to go for week number 8 of the high school football season. Again, with head coach Waylon Schenck, I'm Jordan Fisher. And coach, you got a big opponent coming up. We talked about it a little bit before we went to the commercial break, but the Heritage Hills Patriots certainly pose a bit of a challenge, and I think that's certainly something that your team is welcoming at this moment. You mentioned going out there, a chance to compete, kind of see where you guys are at as far as a barometer game goes. Normally this game has been in the middle of the season, now it's towards the end of the season. What are you kind of expecting from the Heritage Hills Patriots that you don't already know?
Well, I mean, there's big bigger, more physical than anybody we've seen this year. We expect that. And, you know, we knew that coming in. And, man, they got great athletes all over the field. When you got SEC talent playing football at the 3A, 2A level in Indiana, it's a challenge. And, you know, it starts with Jet Goldsberry. Everybody knows, you know, he's a Mr. Football candidate, and he's as good an athlete as I've seen around, you know, high school football in a long time here in Southern Indiana. And Tyler Rux is pretty good, too. He's going to Oklahoma.
He's okay.
He's not bad. you know, everybody knows about those two guys, but, man, the Winchell kid's really good that they got. And you know, Peyton Gray is another kid that is, you know, I remember last year him standing out on film saying, where'd this kid come from? And he was a basketball player that they talked into coming out for football. And seems like he's really committed himself to the weight room because he's put on a lot of muscle mass. And they're big up front. They're just solid all the way around. And that's what you want to see. And at this point in the season, that's what we told our guys. Look, we can move the football, but we're going to have to do things better than we've done. And we need that challenge, and you need those challenges to get better and get ready for postseason play. And, you know, Carter's going to have to be smart with the football, take care of it, get out of his hands quick. And guys are going to have to run hard, crisp routes. And everything at this level against this type of competition, man, it's all about timing. You know, throw it when the ball has to be thrown, you got to throw it. If you hold it too long, it's going to be a sack. If you don't get off press coverage, or if you're slow on your routes, the timing's going to be off. And honestly, that's what we need going forward to be able to compete at a high level in the postseason is to clean up some of those things and, you know, have a sense of urgency that we have to do all those little things right. And if you don't do every little thing right Friday night, you're going to get exposed because the opponent's that good. And But I think our guys are excited about the challenge. And like I said, there's nothing to lose for us. You know, we're going to go out and play, and, you know, everybody's going to have them as a heavy favorite. And let's just go see if we can compete. And I think our guys are ready to do that. And you know, it's going to be senior night for us, and we want to send our seniors out the right way. And I think you do that by competing every play, every possession, and let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I think we talked about earlier the takeaway battle is going to be a big one. You want to make sure you win that category if you can, or at least make it a net neutral. Certainly, I think from the offensive perspective, it just comes down to taking care of the football, not making the dumb penalties with holdings or false starts or whatever. But is there going to be any sort of added emphasis on trying to take the ball away from Heritage Hills? I know you guys haven't had a ton of takeaways this year, but is that something that Coach Fisher's kind of trying to draw something up on the board, so to speak, and see if he can come up with some kind of plan to maybe take advantage of an aggressive offense?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, any extra possession would be huge. And then, you know, we have to approach the offense side the same way. I mean, it's essentially four down territory. Let's just go with four downs and let's move the chains. The best defense for us Friday night is going to be keeping Jet Goldsberry on. Not with the football. You know, if we can keep the ball,
he can't stay on the sideline. He'll be playing safety.
He'll be playing defense too. But you know, if we can limit their number of possessions, we're not going to beat them playing the game in the 50s. You know, we don't want to get out in a shootout. But I do think if we can control the pace of the game, move the chains, get first downs, keep that high powered offense kind of on the sideline or playing defense where they're going to be. You know, you give yourself a chance, and I think the closer you can keep it, the longer you can keep it, the more confidence our guys will get. And but like I said, man, this is just a great opportunity to go compete and see where we're at. We have some big time competitors on our team, some guys that really like to compete and like challenges, and this is a perfect opportunity for them to see where we're at, where we want to be, and what we got to do to get there.
So I know it wasn't exactly the same opponent. It was a long time ago, but Southridge is kind of a team that pops in my head that has a little bit of a similar style in offense with the running quarterback and the bigger receivers. What can you take from that game, even though it was week one, and kind of apply to this week as far as maybe a learning experience between then and now to try and slow down Jet Goldsberry?
Yeah, man, one thing we've got to do better, and even from, you know, 2 weeks ago, is we've got to tackle better. You know, Jet's a powerful runner. He brings both speed and power to the position he's playing, and you got to tackle him low, and you got to tackle him with multiple people. He's going to run through arm tackles. He's going to run over if you try to tackle high. So that's something we got to get better at that period. You know, not just for this week, but going forward, we're going to see some pretty stout guys that can run the ball at Linton or Sullivan or whoever we run into in the sectional. So we've got to get better at that. And I think that's going to be the big emphasis. It would be nice to make them more one dimensional. Can we stop the run and make them throw, or can we just eliminate the pass and make them run one dimensional running? But if we let them get out there and get comfortable throwing the ball and then running the ball and throwing the ball, it's going to be a long night for our defense.
I know you spent time watching film on the Patriots, and you know a little bit of what to expect offensively, but was there anything that stood out to you in the Gibson Southern game specifically where Gibson Southern was able to win a bit of a battle back and forth? It was a high-scoring affair, but they end up winning there late in the game, getting a game-sealing pick.
I think the biggest thing that Gibson Southern did that you watch, you know, I watched every game they've played, and the one thing that stood out to me that Gibson Southern did that nobody else did was they weren't intimidated. You know, when they took the field, they knew it was going to be physical, and they matched the physicality that Heritage Hills kind of displays, and I think that kind of caught Heritage Hills off guard a little bit, and you know, before they knew it, it was a tight game. And but they didn't back down. They showed up. They competed. They did their stuff. They didn't fall apart when bad things happened. You know, they played four quarters of hard-nosed football, and I think that's what you have to do to beat a quality opponent.
How do you get your team to kind of set that tone on Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, you can preach it all you want, but when the game starts, I mean, the kids got to decide, okay, we're going to go out there. And when I told them, you got a decision to make. Either you compete or they're going to run over you all night. And I think we got some competitors in our locker room. I think we have some pride in our program that, you know, we may be undersized, but we're going to go out and we're going to give everything we got and, you know, let the result take care of itself. But we're not going to back down. We're going to play football Friday night.
Of course, the sectional drawing will be on Sunday. Are you guys having a planned watch party or anything like that?
Yeah, we're going to do something. I'm not sure what yet. You know, I got to ask my wife's permission if I can use my basement or not. But she's usually a game for it. And honestly, I hadn't thought much about it until the kids today at school and at practice were asking me what we were going to do. But we'll put something together. We usually do. Kids like getting together, watching the draw together. Last year we did it here in the field house. We'll definitely do something once we get through Friday night.
That'll be on Sunday at 5 o'clock Central Time. The stream will go 2 hours. Not really sure where you guys will be revealed or when you guys are revealed. Sometimes I think they start at 4A and 5A.
We're usually about, you know, 5:45 before we start getting that 2A segment of it.
So we'll certainly see about that. But senior night coming up on Friday night, a big night. You mentioned earlier trying to send the seniors off with a good note on potentially their final home game. Of course, I think we're both thinking, hey, let's not make a 2.5-hour road trip to start sectional play again. But you never know. We'll find that out. But I think certainly a big night coming up on Friday night.
Yeah, for sure. You know, senior night's always special for these guys. A lot of these kids have committed themselves to this program, you know, since they were junior high or youth kids even way back when. So I think it's special to them, their last home game. And hopefully, you know, the IHSA looks at some things and realizes we've had one home game in the last 10 years in the sectional. And maybe we can get that first round game at home. It would be nice. But either way, we're excited. You know, this is an exciting time of the year, you know, for high school athletics, not just football. But we got our sectional draw. Soccer's playing tonight in the sectional, and girls' soccer play tomorrow. And, you know, our boys won their third sectional in tennis on Saturday. They're playing the regional tomorrow night. Volleyball, you know, they got senior night tonight, and their sectional starts in a week. And you know, this is what high school athletes kind of live for. This is the time of the year that's really exciting for them. And you know, hopefully we can bring home some hardware back to North Posey.
It certainly makes you one very busy man this time
of
year.
Yeah, it's fun though. I mean, it's fun being out. And what else would you rather be doing on fall break? You know, going to some sectionals. And but no, it is fun. It's fun watching our kids compete at a high level and watching the community support these kids. It's a special place.
So kickoff at 7 o'clock Central Time on Friday. We'll have the call right here on 98.9 BIW. You'll listen live on NorthPoseyRadio.com and also be able to watch it live on IHSATV.org, as I'll set up that link later on this week. You'll be able to watch that game for free, but I certainly expect a very big crowd for the final regular season home game, and I think the opponent that is coming to town is certainly a bit of a notable one, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And our kids love our crowd. We feed off our crowd, and, you know, they've been pretty impressive throughout the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. You know, we point that out when we go on the road, look around, guys, when we're lucky. You know, our stadium's full when we're at home, and it's not all the case when we go on the road. So, you know, hats off to this community for all the support they give these kids. I mean, you know, you truly are blessed to be in a special community that cares this much.
I know they're not quite the same teams, but this team reminds me a little bit of the 2022 team you had, and that 2022 team just happened to win a double overtime game at home against Heritage Hills on a goal line stand. Yeah, so well, you never know what you'll see.
Hey, we take it.
I'm sure you would. Well, thanks, Coach. I appreciate you stopping by, and good luck this week.
Thanks for having us.
So that'll do it for this week of the Coaches Show. We'll talk to you again on Friday night, kickoff at 7, pregame at 6:45, right here on 98.9 WPIW.